Blog Talk Radio.
Good Saturday evening. Once again, I'd like to welcome you to this, our regular Saturday evening Healing Through Hurt Talk Radio session. And I am so sorry that you all are used to hearing the opening music, but I guess I did not program that in this evening. So we are going to jump right into our show, because tonight I have an extremely special guest. She is the author of Shattered Pieces, Loving Heart, and her name is Michelle Sandoval Poitras. And I'll tell you a little bit about Michelle. She currently attends school, working towards her degree in psychology, and then she hopes to pursue her master's of social work. Michelle has worked in the medical field for many years and has volunteered for organizations including the American Cancer Society, Bernalillo County Mental Health and Mental Retardation Center, and many others. Michelle is a mother to three children and a grandmother as well. Michelle's inspiration for writing her book developed through her life experience. She's a native of Albuquerque, New Mexico, and she currently lives in Oklahoma. So now that you know a little bit about Michelle, I'd like to welcome her to the show. So, Michelle?
Yes. Are you there?
Welcome.
Hello?
Yes.
Thank you, Maria. It's a pleasure to be here with you.
Oh, I am so glad to have you here this evening. And, wow. Let's see how I can come into the book for our listeners. To all of our listeners, of course, welcome to Healing Through Hurt Talk Radio this evening. For all of our callers in the call query, of course, if you'd like to speak with Michelle or be on air, a number for our chat room members is 646-478-4726. And, of course, for all of our members in the chat room, if you'd like to speak with Michelle, feel free to type your response, and I will definitely read it for you on air. And once again, we appear to be, I'm getting messages that some people are having problems getting into the chat room, but I have reset everything, so hopefully you all will be able to get in soon. So, with that said, Michelle,
yes.
Shattered Pieces, Loving Heart. When I read your book, I have to say that, you know, it was definitely a page-turner, because just when I thought it could not get any worse, it does.
It does.
And, you know, I mean, I guess your experiences, because sometimes I don't like to use the word troubles and things like that.
Right.
Your experiences started at a very young age, and it's a matter of fact, I believe you started off talking about an incident, and so many of our listeners, we understand this, and it's one of those taboo subjects that no one ever chooses to speak about, but the realization is that these types of issues do happen within the walls, and when the curtains are drawn, and when it's late at night, when not very many people can hear any of us scream, things do happen. So, you know, you can, I guess, just for a little while, explain your memories of what happened when you were around 4 years old.
When I was around 4 years old, I had an uncle that was living with us at our home, and my uncle would come into my room, and he would curtain, he would smell of alcohol, and he would hurt me. He would molest me. He would hurt me and do things to me and make me do things to him. And I told my mother, and my mother didn't believe me. So this went on for about 3 years. And I didn't find out until later on, actually, that my two of my siblings had gone, two of my sisters had actually gone through the same thing I had gone through. So this was, yeah, we didn't know. You know, it was treated as my brother would never do that and be quiet, you know, to myself with what I was told. So, yes, that's the story that happened to me.
You know, it's odd that once again, I know that I have someone who's very close to me who experienced something like that in her childhood. And when she tried to articulate it, you know, to her mother did not believe her and would beat her and do all of that. And I don't know whether where that comes from as women, I guess, but if a child tells you anything out of the ordinary or something of that type of a magnitude, you know, I would think that the maternal instinct would kick in and they would want to protect their child. But just as with you, and we're about to touch on this, the person who I'm speaking about, her mom is also an alcoholic.
Right. Right.
And, you know, in my opinion, that doesn't justify it.
Right.
But, you know, in the same breath, it, in some way, I don't know whether you would agree, but in some way it helps you. I think it helps you to cope with it.
Right. Correct. Absolutely. Yes, it does. It does. It helps you because you think to yourself, well, you know, the way I described in my book, well, we'll go into that, like you said, but it was emotionally chaotic, you know, and as far as, yes, it helped me to cope with it, you know. I mean, as I got a little older until I did finally actually cope with it, you know. But, yes, it did.
And, you know, I realize that I know for me when I do speaking engagements, sometimes it gets to me. So at any time, if you want to take a break, feel free to let me know. And again, welcome to our guest in the chat room. Welcome to Brian, and welcome to Kes 10011. Thank you all for joining us. I'm glad you could get into the chat room because I understand that there's some technical difficulties trying to get in this evening. And again, for those of you in our call query, we're speaking with Michelle Sandoval Poitras.
Poitras. Okay.
You know what? I love putting that French spin on your last name. Poitras.
That's what it is. It is French, actually. Yeah. It is French. Yeah, you got that.
Well, I got that part right. So,
yes, ma'am.
Wow. I love the part in your book, just to shed a little bit of cuteness on this, whether you all can believe that there's cuteness in the book or not. I love this part about the confession.
When I made my first confession.
Yes, your first confession. That was the cutest thing in the world.
I had gone into, you know, I went to parochial school, and I'm in the second grade, and we have to make our first confession before we're able to make our first Holy Communion. And I go in, and, you know, I thought we had to go in with sins, you know. So I was blessing the Father, for I had sinned. I stole a car. I did this. I did that, you know, all these huge things. And his Father was so sweet, and, you know, he just kind of, I could hear him clearing his voice. Now, mind you, I'm only in the second grade, you know.
Yeah.
But he's clearing his voice, oh, my child, are you sure? Oh, my child. You know? And I finally broke down crying and said, "No, Father, I thought I had to come in and, you know, tell you some sins, you know." So I had made them up, you know, stealing cars, doing this, doing that. So, yeah, it was quite And, of course, the next day, of course, we all had to learn what the true meaning of confession was. We had penance, and, you know, but, yeah. So.
Yeah, that was just the cutest thing. You know, you go in, "Forgive me, Father, for I have sinned," and you stole a car. How, and you were like,
"Robbed a bank." Yeah, I think I said I robbed a bank or something. Here I am, almost, what, 7 years old? You know?
Yep.
So, yeah. I'm sure you got a big kick out of that.
I thought that was the cutest thing in the world.
Oh.
That was hilarious. And, you know, that's what you were taught, so.
Absolutely.
Well, we're going to move right along because I know that you were, wait a minute, this is from memory. You know, I'm getting up in age, but you are number 5 of 9?
Correct. I am number 5
okay.
of 9, yes.
Okay.
Yes, I am.
So.
I have 4 older and 4 younger. There are 7 of us left now out of my brothers and sisters, yes. So.
And share a little bit with us tell us a little bit about your siblings.
My siblings were all survivors. My oldest sister, her name is Judy, and she actually calls me her bud. She was a protector when I was very little, I would say. I had a brother, Bobby, who was my half-brother, Judy's full brother, or full-blooded brother, and my brother was at Camarillo State Hospital. He had fallen down some stairs, and he developed encephalitis, and he was in a hospital for many years. He passed away when I was 12 years old, and it was another family secret. There's something we weren't allowed to talk about, so, you know, we had to keep it quiet. Of course, I would always tell everybody and get in trouble for it, but anyway. And I didn't know. To me, he was just my brother, you know. And then I have a sister, Diana. We call her Dee. And she left home very early as well. I have a sister, Juanita. She lives in Texas. We call her Nita. I had a brother, Johnny, my pretend twin, and we lost him when he was 32. And then I have a little sister, Laura. I call her my little ray of sunshine. She was always the one that, no matter what, stood up for me, you know, right or wrong. She was always in my corner. And then I have my baby sister, who's Maria, and she lives in Albuquerque. And so,
Maria, good name.
Yeah, good name, huh? Yeah. And my mom used to tell me, you know, since I was right in the middle, you know, 4 older and 4 younger, you know, she used to say that I was too old for toys and I was too young for boys. You know, I was like, right.
Yeah.
Smack dam in
the infamous middle child syndrome.
Yes. Yes, ma'am. So.
And
those are my siblings.
And we're going to move right along now because I think this is, for me, when the emotions started to kick in. You know, you spoke about your dad and when he had gone away to fight in the war, I believe. And
Vietnam War.
I think that is that when things really started to change for you when he came home and your mommy greeted him?
My dad got home. He used to try to call us when he was overseas. And the monsoons, walking the monsoons in Vietnam, and he would try to call us. And when we went to the airport, you know, us kids were all excited, and we made signs, and Daddy was coming home. He'd been gone a year. And we get there to the airport, and my mom walks up and slaps the divorce papers in his hand and takes those kids and walks away. And then, of course, I went in to talk about when my father came to my would soon be my stepfather's house and what happened at that point. You know, we had about 2 minutes to decide who we were going to want to, who we wanted to live with. You know, my father stood out in the front yard with a gun pointed to his head and said, whoever wishes to come with me, come with me, and who's ever staying with your mother, stay with your mother. And so we had about 2 minutes to decide. So, yes, that's when my life changed. I stayed with my mother for a while.
And just to give the listeners a little bit of background there, when your father came home, there was no real compassion there between from your mom, and she pretty much just shoved divorce papers in his face.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yep. She shoved divorce papers in his hand and said that was it. And she went to go back to stay with her boyfriend she'd been seeing while my father was gone. And my dad was just left there standing. Yeah. Yeah. I can't even begin to imagine the pain and the hurt he felt. You know, I can't even begin to imagine. He thought he was coming home. You know, my father was in 3 wars, and this was the Vietnam War. This was the 3rd war.
Right.
And I just can't imagine, you know, what the man felt. So.
Right. I can only imagine for him how he must have felt, because it was almost like I could feel that devastation, you know, myself.
Right.
And, you know, words can't describe. There's just no words for it. And the night when he had come to give you, you know, young children the ultimatum,
mm-hmm.
You know, you all were relatively young.
Yes, yes. I was in 7th grade. I was 12 years old. You know, I contribute that now. My father hadn't drank in many years, and my father had been sober for many years, and he got drunk after that. And I contribute that now to that, and probably also to post-traumatic stress. You know, he just came home from a horrible war, you know. And, I mean, it's certainly not an excuse, but I certainly contribute that to what he might have been feeling at the time that happened.
And, you know, did any of the siblings go with him?
Yes, actually they did. My younger brother, Johnny, and my sister, Juanita, they both went with my dad. And, yes, they did. My younger siblings stayed with my mother. And 2 of the kids were already grown up, and then my other, well, 3 of the kids actually had already left home. So mm-hmm. There was 4 of us with Mom, and then 2 went with my dad. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And it would actually be many years before we reconnected as well. You know, I didn't see my siblings for many years, the 2 that had gone with my father.
So eventually, at some point, did your mom remarried?
Yes, she did. She did. Oh, yeah. Yes, she married a very abusive man. His name was Jack. And he was extremely abusive to his kids, and he was very abusive to me, physically abusive. He was a very large man. And he would just, you know, hit me and beat me and just do things that, he was. I'm sure since you read the book, I hated a person. You know, I don't ever try to have hate in my heart, but what I wrote in the book was I hated this man as much as a 12-year-old is capable of hating someone. You know, that's how bad I thought this person was, or he was. So, yes.
Right. And, you know, there's so much going on in the book, and that's another issue I think that we could kind of touch base on for all of the listeners, is the fact that, you know, sometimes I don't know the whole situation of why your mom did what she did to your biological father, but in the same breath, you know, she marries this new man,
mm-hmm.
and once again, it's almost like this was the beginning of that vicious cycle continuing.
Yes.
You know, it's almost like it just carried on to, you know, another generation.
Yes, yes, yes. It did. It did. And in my case, it did. I mean, I certainly didn't beat my children, but in my case, you know, sometimes when you are abused as a child, you don't know any better. You don't know anymore. You don't think better of yourself because you don't know. You know, when you're told something for so long or you are this way, then you start to believe it after a while. And if someone's hitting you, then you're thinking, you know, maybe I don't deserve better or I can't get out, whatever the reasoning is. But, yes, it was it. You're right. You're right.
And at some point, I guess, you know, you were in this situation and you had a good friend who you had known for some time. I believe his name was Kirk.
Yes.
Because for all of our listeners, again, bear with me in this story because there's so much going on here that you may want to take notes so you can keep track of who is who at this point because it's about to get extremely, extremely, we're about to go there to a place that we're all going to end up feeling it in by the end of our discussion here today. So tell us a little bit about Kirk and your first experience, I guess.
My first experience was with a guy named Kirk. He was my mom's best friend's son. And, you know, I always had a crush on this guy, and I thought he was just the greatest thing since the moon. And I had snuck out of my house one night, and I went over to his house, and you know, one thing led to another, and it was my first experience, sexual experience. And I came home, and when I came home, there was a police car there. And, you know, I thought, oh, great, I'm in trouble, which once they found out I was home safe because I'd snuck out of the house. And I went into the house, and my mom was waiting for me. And I told her, I thought I could always talk to my mom. I thought we always had a close relationship. And I told her what had happened. You know, Mom, I'm sorry. And I was crying, and she slapped me. And I felt I deserved that because I snuck out and because I had lost my virginity. And I told her again, Mom, I'm really sorry. And she slapped me again. She pulled me by the hair, and she looked at me, and she said, you're lying. And I said, I'm not lying to you, Mom. Why would I lie to you? And she then told me that it was because she had been with this person. So
now let's backtrack a bit and make sure that all of the listeners got this. You thought that you had a great relationship, or at least a good relationship, with your mother.
Correct.
And in doing so, you thought that you could confide in her and tell her that you had just lost your virginity to your best friend or good friend.
Correct.
And in doing so, your mother then turned around and she pulled you by your hair and she slapped you and she did everything to you possible. And then she tells you that she had been with this young man too. And this is your mother. Yes. And how old was her?
Kirk was 15, 14, 16. I think, you know, he was 15. I was 14. He was 15. Yeah.
He was 15.
Yeah.
So your mom.
My mother.
Had been
my
with
mother.
A 15-year-old.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. And And that's at the point that that's when I decided I left home and never looked back, basically.
And that was your turning point for you when you were still a very young girl at the time.
Oh, yes. And you know, you something that's supposed to be so special, too. You know, I mean, even it's supposed to be such a special time. You know, yeah, it was it turned out to be a real nightmare, actually.
And, again, if you need to stop, just let me know. Again, welcome to all of our guests in the chat room. We have a question in the chat room from Brian. Brian asks, did your mom ever apologize to you over this?
No. Did she ever apologize to me for it? No. Mm-mm. She never did.
Amenti Astrology writes, yeah, mom should have apologized. So, you know, I mean, I think that it is the general consensus that when you're a parent, this is like something that you just do not do. And Amenti Astrology also writes, she attacked her like a grown woman. She didn't know any better. And that's true. Your mother came at you inappropriately because, I don't know, you know, for me, I'm not too sure whether she did what she did when she attacked you because, you know, I believe that you said it in the book. It wasn't really about the fact that my daughter had just lost her virginity as much as it is that my daughter went out and slept with my boy because he was not a man. And Brian in the chat room also writes, and you always so felt love for your mom.
Oh, absolutely.
End, correct?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes, I always felt love for my mom. I still love my mother, you know. I mean, I there again, I'm sure we'll go into that later on, but it took me years to be angry at my mother and when I was finally, for a lot of things. And when I was finally able to be angry and know it was okay to be angry, then I was able to start to heal. I was able to forgive, and then I was able to start to heal. But for many years, I was not angry. I mean, I couldn't be angry because she was an alcoholic or because of this reason or because of that reason. I didn't feel like I didn't allow myself to be that way. But, yes, I always loved my mother. Even then, I loved my mother. I did. I didn't understand. I was hurt. You know, but I always loved her, always. Yes. So that's the answer. Hopefully that answers your question.
Well, thank you, Brian, for that. And, of course, for all of our guests in the chat room, welcome to Amenti Astrology. Brian, guest 10327, guest 10402, and guest 10470. Thank you all so much for joining me here this evening. I'm glad that you could get into the chat room because, once again, Blog Talk Radio is having some major difficulties. And Brian is writing again in the room. He said, where and how were you able to find your forgiveness?
I was able to find my forgiveness, first of all, through God, of course, and it's what's in my heart. I try not to hate. I try not to, you know, I mean, it was just there. She was my mother. You know, she brought me into this world no matter what happened. My mother's life was no picnic, you know. Certainly not an excuse. It's certainly not. But she did the best that she could do with the hand that she was dealt with, I believe. My heart truly believes that. And when I look at it that way, which I always have tried to do, then, you know, who am I not to forgive my mother? So.
And, you know, I understand that. I think that a lot of times we need to, I think that it would cause, the vicious cycle would continue if we kept the hate going. And we kept, and then, you know, the worst part is that talking about it with them would never amount to anything but more hatred. Because they
Absolutely.
Never admit to anything or ask for forgiveness. So, mm-hmm. you know, it comes a point when we get to that age in our lives where we have to learn how to live for our moment
right.
and not allow what they did in the past or those demons from the past to control our lives. And Brian writes in the chat room, so it was pretty easy. And not hard at all then?
No. Of course, no.
It's never easy.
No, it was not easy just to say, okay, you know, mom did this to me. No, absolutely not. You know, I had to work years at everything just didn't happen overnight either. You know, it's taken me years to get where I am to where I was, you know.
Yeah. And I think I could add that it's a process in motion. It's never ending. You have to work at it constantly. It's not like something where, okay, I've reached this pillar in my life, hey, but there are days when it may come back to haunt you again or it may come to the forefront of your mind. So it's something that you always have to continuously fight with. I mean, that's what I know, you know, I think that a lot of us have families of secrets and lies, and there are days when we have to know how we're going to deal with some of the things.
Correct.
Yeah.
And I certainly didn't want it coming into my relationship with my children either, you know, or as far as that, my children know what happened, of course, but I certainly did not want anything, or try not to, anything that I had been through, like you said, to work at it and work at it, because I didn't want my children to have to deal with some emotions that I had dealt with, if that makes any sense at all, you know? I mean,
exactly.
So you break the cycle, of course, you know, and you just go on. So.
Yeah, and that's a conscious decision as well. We have to make that decision to break the cycle, because if we do not and then stick to it, trust me, that past can easily come back in and really tear apart, you know, another two or three generations down the line. So it is a process, and Brian writes, yep, it's always a process, and that's true. It is. It's really a continuous, ongoing process. And it's a process that when they lay us, a lot of us, to our final resting place, we'll still be working on it. And, you know, sometimes in the afterlife, you know,
yes,
it is a process. It really is. But, you know, we're going to talk about, you know, you had left home at a very early age, and just when you thought that was bad enough, you had discovered that when you were around 17 that you were also pregnant.
Yes, I was. I was pregnant with my eldest daughter. Yes, I was. Yep. Which, of course, I would not trade for anything in the world. I adore her. I adore all my children. That was, and I'm grateful I had my friend Diane I met my friend Diane, and she's always there to help me, you know, as my friend. We're still very good friends after 40-some years, but, you know, she was there to help me. But I was alone. You know, I felt alone. I felt very much alone. And an incident happened when I went into labor, and, you know, so.
And, we'll get to that in a minute, because we still do have comments coming out of the chat room. Another question is, was there suspicion with the men that you were around and your children when you were older over this?
Was there suspicion? Was I suspicious of men around my children? Absolutely. Oh yes, without a doubt. My antenna were always up. You know, yes. Because once you are sexually abused or abused, you're to protect your children. Yes, absolutely.
Yep. And you know, once you're sexually abused, that's a whole nother realm of guards that comes around you, that only those of us who've gone through it could really understand, because that's a whole other issue to itself. And Amenti Astrology writes, yes, most moms are. And she also writes, I know I am.
Mm-hmm.
So this is something that is very much in... always in the forefronts of our minds. And the comments are still coming. It's something that truly never leaves you, Brian says.
That's true. It doesn't.
Amenti goes on to write, please don't talk to me when I'm with my daughter. I'm serious. And her response to Brian's comment that it never leaves, and she says, no, it doesn't. And it's so true. It is very true, and it does not leave you, and it never will. That's something that we will always carry with us.
Right.
And it's never going to leave. So.
Right. Yep.
And I'll tell you this, that I know that... when, you know, just when you think that you have friends that are there for you, something as minor as, you know, when you were on your way to the hospital and your friend, you know, I mean, Lord help if your water had broken in the seats and everything else.
No kidding.
It's, you know,
yeah, I was in-
if you're a true friend, I mean,
mm-hmm.
you should have known that that would happen or could have
mm-hmm.
happened. And
mm-hmm.
to do what she did, now that, you know, that's something that, okay, fine, you know, I would never, ever, 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 you know, do that to a friend. But that lets you know who your true friends are, in my opinion.
Absolutely. I have found out throughout the years, and I'm very grateful that I had an angel, a friend of mine that I had known, who was an Albuquerque police officer, that an angel stepped in and offered her home to help take care of me and my daughter for 6 weeks. Yes, I'm very grateful, this supposed friend.
mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah, I was, you know, on my way to the hospital, and I got sick, and she said, you're not coming back, just stay at the house, so that was it. I didn't know what I was going to do, you know.
Wow, because you got sick, and you were in labor on the way to the hospital.
Yeah, I was in labor.
Wow, mm-hmm. great friend. And thank you mm-hmm. so much to Amenti Astrology. She writes, great show, and thank you so much for the compliments. And Brian goes on to write, this is just a testament to the courage of this author to come out as she has with her book. These things never leave you, and they're always with you, but yet we all cope and live. And I like that, Brian. You're absolutely right. We have
yep.
to live, not just exist, but we have
right.
to live.
Yeah,
and there's
right.
always help and always hope. And it
is.
It's right. always help and it's always hope. And sometimes, like you know, we were conversing about earlier, the fact that sometimes that hope and that help and that encouragement comes in the face of absolute strangers. You know,
yep.
I'll tell for all of the listeners, once again, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for joining us here this evening on Healing Through Hurt. And again, to all of our callers in the query, if you'd like to be on air, press the number 1 on your phone, and that will let me know that you would like to be on air. And, of course, to all of our members and guests in the chat room, you can always call in at 646-478-4726 and press the number 1 on your phone if you'd like to speak with Michelle personally. So feel free to do that as well. But that in itself was just wrong. You know, so then you're left at a hospital with an infant that hasn't done anything to anyone. She says, find somewhere else to go. So,
yep.
you know, good job, friend. You're the best friend in the world. With friends like you, I will never, ever, ever need to go out and look for an enemy. You know, good
yeah.
job.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, thanks a lot, man. I needed that, let me tell you.
Yeah. But you know what? What doesn't kill you makes you stronger. It just makes
Absolutely.
You stronger in the end.
Where Brian had said, there's always hope, there's always help. That is my saying. You know, that is, we have bracelets made up for that. You know, that there's always hope, there's always help. And there's always someone else that's been through something worse than what I was going through, have gone through, whatever. There's always someone worse, you know, that is dealing with something. There really is. There truly is. So I'm thankful. I'm blessed.
But you know what, and after all that you've gone through, you know, your hurts are equally as great as anyone else's out there. Their hurts are of great magnitude to them, just as yours is to you. If theirs is an 8.9 on the Richter scale, yours is an 8.9 on your Richter scale. So each one
right.
of us has our own hurts, and they're equally great to us. So.
Right.
You know, I always tell my listeners, never compare your hurts to someone else, because those hurts are theirs, and they could say, my hurts was like 1,000 on the scale of 1 to 10, it's 1,000.
Yeah.
And you could say, wow, on a scale of 1 to 10, mine is 1,000 too, because no one else's hurts can ever be compared to yours, because
That's
your
right.
hurts are yours. And
right. That's right. Absolutely.
And, you know,
I agree with you.
And at this point, we're going to move along here, and we're going to, let's see. Now I had to pull out my notes because there's so much going on here. that, wait, here we go. We have another comment in the chat room. If there's a young person that is going through this and is listening to this, do you know where they should go for help? And
if there is a young person that's going through sexual abuse or physical abuse, they need to talk to, they can talk to a teacher, talk to a counselor. If there are many groups and many organizations, if they're very little, you know, it's a difference when they're very little or when they can actually pick up a phone, talk to someone, they can let someone know, don't keep it inside. As they get a little older, you know, there are outreach programs, there are crisis programs, there's, you know, there's RAIN, there's so many different organizations. But, yes, talk to someone they can trust, their minister, their, you know, a neighbor that they know that they can go to, but get help, absolutely, absolutely.
And it's odd that you should bring up RAIN because I'm a member of the RAIN Speakers Bureau. So
I'm trying to get there. That's what I'm working on. Yeah.
It is the RAIN stands for Rape, Abuse, and Incest National Network. Their number is 1-800-656-HOPE. 1-800-656-HOPE. If you need them, call them. And, you know, RAIN, you know, they have certain criteria for you to become a member of the Speakers Bureau. And they usually want you to wait a while, but I was actually in, I got in within 3 months because I actually sent them a tape of Healing Through Hurt that I had done, and I sent them all of my court documents. I sent them, you know, all of the paperwork. And I guess my story, and I said, you know what, I need to do this. I need to talk. I need to help people. And waiting a year is not working for me. So, you know, if they're going through this, please, I want you all to call for help. And, again, for those of you, you can talk to your counselors and people where you're away from school, where you're probably away from your perpetrator or your abuser, and they don't know that you're talking to someone else. So any young person, I am an advocate for RAIN. I do promote it at all times. So, again, the number is 1-800-656-HOPE, H-O-P-E. And
Maria, also on my website, there's also, I have a link on my page, my contact page, which has a lot of these organizations, such as RAIN. And, I do that just to let your listeners know that as well. If they'd like to, you know, also, too, they can click on that, and it'll take them right to the site, too.
As a matter of fact, you can give them the website, actually.
Oh, my website is www.shatteredpieces-lovingheart.com. And it tells about my book, and if you do go to the contact page, there is a listing of all the different organizations. So,
and again, you can give it to them again, just to make sure, and as you're doing it, I'm going to be typing it in the chat room for everybody.
Okay, it's www.shattered, shattereces-lovingheart.com.
www.shatteredpieces-lovingheart.com.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, I just put it up in the chat room. Welcome to all of our guests in the chat room. Thank you so much, Prophetess Cheryl, for joining us here this evening. And welcome to all of our guests, of course, Mentee, Brian, guest 10402, guest 010470, guest 11101. Thank you so much for joining us here this evening. If anyone of you would like to call and speak with Michelle on air, our number is 646-478-4726. Feel free to give us a call and press the number 1 on your phone, and I will certainly bring you on air with us. And we still have comments coming in the chat room. Brian writes, yes, all the time those people are cowards. When they say something to keep you from telling the thing, they don't and won't do anything like they say to you. They are cowards. And this is so true, Brian. You know, it's just Brian Wright's participation is great so far. Well, thank you. I try to, you know, it's when you have on a great guest, of course, participation is going to be rather high. And there are so many more people that are actually here that you all can't see, but I can. So it is a
great show. Hi, everybody.
Great show. And
thank you for joining us.
You know, thank you all so much, as always, for joining us here on Healing Through Hurt. And I'll tell you, a lot of times when we go back a bit about the faces of strangers, it's the fact that, you know, I had no idea that you, you know, were waiting to be a guest on this show. And in doing so, Michelle and I had become friends long before this day had even come. Because I had written back to her on her website. I left a message.
You did.
And I don't even know how things, you know, progressed from that point, but somehow we became friends on Facebook, and we talk, we chat, we do it all. And, you know, I like to, when I have guests on, I like for my guests to feel as though this is a family affair and we're the best of friends.
Right.
Those of you who do not know, I guess you can tell I do not do scripts. I don't like
No, scripts. You don't do scripts.
You never know what how we may turn, but I don't like to hear, you know, programs where people use a lot of scripts because it's the same tired scripts over and over.
Uh-huh.
And I think that, and if you all agree with me, give Michelle a shout-out in the chat room because, you know, you get to know my guest. You get to know the author. You get to feel the book before you even purchase the book. You get a feel for this person who put their soul into their books. So this is why I like to keep very open and very relaxed a chat. So if you all are enjoying Michelle, feel free to give her a shout-out, give us a call, or feel free to give her a shout-out in the chat room, and I'll be sure to pass it along to her. And Brian writes, it seems as though the two of us have a lot in common. And, you know, Brian, it's odd that you caught on to that because in reality we do. And, you know, I noticed that you were talking about you and your twin, where you all are, what, two years apart? My brother and I are 2 years, 2 months, and 2 days apart.
Okay. Here you go. There you go. Yeah,
I know
he's
it's
my twin.
So we do have a lot in common, Brian. You know, I wrote a simple book. It was more like encouragement because I'm also a photographer. So it's a feel-good book where people can look at pretty pictures and read a few words of encouragement, you know. And he says, you see, LOL.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we try to, I try to make this very open like this and very free-forming. And
right.
I never know how the show is going to turn out. I really don't.
Right.
So,
you never know.
I haven't missed the beat yet, so we're one of the popular shows here on Blog Talk Radio for a reason. So thank you so much for joining us here this evening. And if you're enjoying the show, feel free to give us a call or just give Michelle some words of encouragement. But wow, we're almost down to our halfway point in the show.
I know, it's gone quick.
So, he writes Batwoman and Robinette. Thelma and Louise. How about that?
That's it, Thelma and Louise. That's our new name.
That's it, Thelma and Louise all the way. And, you know, so many times people want to know, how it is that we could go through so much and
right.
still be able to laugh.
Right.
Well, you
right.
know, sometimes we laugh to keep from crying, and then other times
right.
we laugh just because we're here and we can.
And
that
we can, absolutely. It makes a lot of sense. You know, I mean, I tell, and I've said this before, and I'll say it again, we have choices, you know, when we're faced with, you know, when we're faced with challenges and adversity. We can go through drugs or alcohol like some people do, which I didn't take that road, thank God. You know, we can sit in a corner and bang our head. We can feel sorry for ourselves. We can blame the world. Or we can take and we can get the tools and we can heal and we can live once again. And we can laugh, you know. We
yes.
can laugh. We can enjoy life,
yes.
you know. So,
yes.
yeah.
And someone writes, Brian writes, laughter is a great healer. And that is so true. And between laughter and the power of positive thinking and believing in
yep.
yourself, you
yep.
know, because a lot of times there's no one else to believe in you but
right.
yourself.
Right.
Because, you know, it's so sad that most people want to pull you down with that crab pot mentality as opposed to
mm-hmm.
lifting you up because they don't want you to be anything that they are not. So a lot of times we have to look from within for that encouragement, find our faith and find our inner strength and courage and our inner inspirations to keep us moving forward.
And pass so, it on. And to pass it on. Absolutely.
And pass
and
it on.
Pass.
We'll get into
yep.
that, you know, at the end of the show. We'll be talking about paying it forward and
yep. okay.
allowing,
okay.
you know, just to give what you've learned and help someone else. Each one help one, and then the next one would then in turn help someone else. And if we keep
right.
this momentum going, we truly could heal the world without even knowing
absolutely.
It. It starts with
absolutely.
One individual. You know, a great forest starts with one seed.
Yes,
and
it does.
You know, it branches out, and before you know it, there's an entire forest.
Yep.
And, you know, exactly, Brian, by our actions. You know,
yep.
and some people may tell, I'm sure you may have heard it, as people want to tell you, don't tell this story. Why are you putting this out there? Why are you
mm-hmm.
doing it? But,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's something that some people may never understand, but,
if
you
it
know,
reaches
sometimes.
One heart, one little girl that can reach for that phone, one lady that is going through something, I've been one man, one
right.
child, one person, then to me it's all worth it, putting it all down on paper. It's every bit of it's worth it, you know, every bit of it, just to know that there's one person that has said, you know what, this helped me, or I did go to that website, or I did pick up that phone, you know, I'm not alone.
Yeah.
I'm not alone. So.
And you're not, and it's so funny because I have so many, you know, and I've said it before, a lot of my listeners, a lot of them are broken. And
right. Right.
they, for whatever reason, you know, they gravitate towards me. And some of them say, I just need to hear that voice of yours because it calms me or it reassures me. And, you know, and they say that they feel as though I actually care. And I'm like,
yeah,
but I do. I do care, and you know, and they're still amazed that they actually get to talk to me personally. And I'm like, well, yeah, and you know, they say some shows they do, people like rushing. You know, we only have 15 minutes. Get to tell your story, blah 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 blah. And I'm like,
yeah.
no, that's why I only have one guest for 2 hours,
right.
because no one can get this in 15 minutes. No one can get it in 10 minutes or half an hour. So.
Right.
Oh, thank you, Amanti. She wrote a very inspirational and loving show. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Brian asked, what did the people in your life think when you told them about yourself writing your book? Good question, Brian. That's a great question.
What did the people in my life say? Well, my children were 110% behind me. I asked my children first before I ever wrote my book because, of course, they're in it, and they went through most of this, if not all of it, except when I was little with me. And they were very encouraging. My true friends were extremely encouraging. I've had some, you know, my manager was like, you can do this. I know you can do this. Sit down and write this, you know. People have always told me throughout my lifetime you should write a book. And I was like, yeah, sure, whatever. You know, okay, yeah, right. But I've also had some people, too, that I was close to that I thought I was, and they just kind of disappeared. I've had people that I've known in my life for 30-some years, a lady I've known for 30-some years. And as soon as I'm like, you know, before I wrote the book, I did change a couple of names to a few things that had happened. And it wasn't to protect the people. It was to protect their families. You know, they have kids or whatever, parents.
Right.
But everyone else, of course, I got permission. You know, I got permission to use their name in my book. So a lot of people have been very much encouraging and, you know, do it. This is great, and I'm going to buy it, and this is wonderful. But I have had a couple that have just kind of, you know, just whatever. I don't know if they were afraid I was going to put something about them in it. I don't know what the reasoning was, if it was just because things were starting to happen in my life that were really good or have happened. I don't know.
Right.
So, yeah. But most of it, absolutely.
Brian had a part two to his question. It was, what was their input, and did they support you? And I, you know, I'm assuming that some did, some, of course, as you just said, did not. But, you know, I hope
there's
that
answers. There's only been a couple that have not, you know, that they haven't really not supported me. They haven't been there to support me, I guess I would say, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I have had no negative feedback. I've had, you know, as far as it goes, most of it has all been, we're proud of you, and, you know, and I, we love you, and thank you for doing this, and, you know, it took guts to do what you did, and you can feel the love in it, and so, yes, probably all but maybe one, one or two so far has been very positive.
Right. And I mean, it's the nature of the beast, and some people don't want to support you because you're doing what they don't have enough courage or strength to do themselves. And so many people tend to take the low road out, and they want to just make pretend like whatever happened to them or whatever they did to someone else never happened.
Right.
So, you know, people tend to find it more, for whatever reason, they're under that false assumption that if they sweep it under the rug, eventually, you sweep enough dust and dirt and grime under a rug, eventually you're going to have a big lump there.
Absolutely.
And it's going to be, you know, it's going to be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Brian writes, so did people sort of come out of the woodwork in a way that can be a good thing, being able to help them? But your thoughts?
I've had both. I've had a lot of people that have come out of the woodwork that have said, thank you, I read your book, and it helped me to get out of an abusive relationship, or it helped me to, you know, to get through this. And then on the flip side of it, you know, I've had people that I haven't talked to in so many, many years, and all of a sudden they're, hey, I remember you from elementary school. You wrote a book. You remember me? You know? So it's been kind of both ways.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. But to help the people, pardon me?
Oh, no, I didn't say anything. Brian was asking me a question, and I actually was responding out loud for a moment, but that's okay.
Okay.
We're going to move on in a bit. Actually, we're going to take a break.
Okay.
And when we come back, because we're actually right into our halfway mark into our show. And when we come back, we're going to be back in about 2 minutes and 60-some-odd seconds, I think. We're going to do our HTH promo. So for everyone, if you want to run out, get your favorite beverage, you know, get a personal break, whatever. We'll be back in about 2 minutes. So see you all back in 2 minutes. Okay, we'll be right back.
Hello, everyone. This is Maria Wall, host of Healing Through Hurt Talk Radio and our very popular Sunday morning meditation. I'd like to send you this personal invitation to join me here each Saturday evening at 9 p.m. Eastern Time for Healing Through Hurt Talk Radio here on blogtalkradio.com. And as always, join me for your 15 minutes of stress relief and release on our 9:30 a.m. Eastern Time show, Healing Through Hurt Talk Radio's Sunday Morning Meditation, where you will find a place to let go of everything that's happened in the past week and find that strength to be able to face whatever may be coming your way this week. And if you are a spoken word artist or You are a New Age musician. We want to hear from you. Want free publicity? Give us a call at 202-618-2556 or send us a demo CD of your work at Post Office Box 272 in Randallstown, Maryland, 21133. I look forward to hearing from you. Again, join me for Healing Through Hurt Talk Radio, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, Saturday evenings, and of course, 9:30 a.m. Sunday mornings for our regular Healing Through Hurt Talk Radio Sunday morning meditation, where for just 15 minutes you can get that boost to help you make it through the oncoming week and let go of all of the burdens and stress from the week that just passed. We need to learn how to leave it in the past. So join me for both of our shows here on Healing Through Hurt Talk Radio, where you will always find real people, real stories, real hurt, and real healing. Now, you have a place to tell your story and find your voice. Until then, you be well, and I hope you come back and visit us often.
Okay, we are back. So, thank you to everyone who's in the chat room. Again, if you'd like to call in, our number is 646-478-4726. Press the number 1 on your phone to be live on air. And, Michelle?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
I'm here.
I was looking at the chat room. Brian was wondering if he was there by himself, and Prophetess Cheryl had written that she's listening. She just doesn't like to listen and chat at the same time. So she is there listening. And, of course, as I said to all of our guests, if you would like to participate in our chat, of course, feel free to log in. And as always, feel free to like this show on Facebook. And, of course, send out a tweet about it if you're on Twitter. And, of course, favorite the show and come back often, because each week we'll bring you more guests just like Michelle to share their stories of healing through their hurt. So, welcome back, everyone. I hope you've all gotten your beverages out and taken those personal breaks and got that good stretch in. Because now we're down the home stretch here for part two of our program. And again, we're here with the author of Shattered Pieces, Loving Heart, Michelle Sandoval. Here I go again. Portra.
Correct.
Yay!
Portra.
Yay! I finally got it, everybody. Yay! Okay. We are so going to keep going here. Told you guys, don't do scripts so you never know what we might laugh about. But, welcome to everyone. And I actually had your book out with me today when I was with my women's social club, the Women of Wow, which is the Women of Wisdom and Worth. I had your book. We had our luncheon today for our Southern Hemisphere. We were in Gaithersburg, Maryland. And, I passed around your book, and people got to look at it, and they wanted to know more. And I'll be emailing them the show after it's over if they're not here. I know a lot of them were coming, and they could have been the guests who were actually in the chat room. But guests cannot respond in the chat room unless they log in. So if you are a guest and you'd like to make a comment, feel free to log in. And then, of course, you can come in and chat. So we're going to move right along, and we're getting into the nitty-gritty of this now. And tell us a little bit about Jerry.
Oh, Jerry. Jerry was my daughter's father. I was very much in love with him. We went through quite a 7 years together. Jerry was an alcoholic, there again too. Jerry was abusive. We had some terrible experiences together. But there again, I mean, I got my beautiful, incredible daughter out of it. I wouldn't change anything, not a thing. If I had to go through everything again, I would, because I ended up with my baby girl, Shauna. And Jerry is no longer with us. He's been gone since my daughter was almost 4 years old. But it was quite the relationship. I don't want to go into too much detail. He was abusive. I lost a baby when I was with him due to him. It was a very, very emotional roller coaster with him. So he committed suicide, is what Jerry did. He took his life. So.
Okay. Well. Well, you know, I don't want to upset you, so we're going to.
No, I'm okay. It's not that I don't want to get upset. I don't want to give too much away from the book. I think is what I'm trying to do. I mean, the story's there.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Whatever
yeah,
you'd
I,
like, you just tell me.
Or ask.
Or just ask.
All of you listening. Matter of fact, tell us where we can pick up a copy of your book.
You can pick up a copy of my book in several places on my website. There again, www.shatteredpieces-lovingheart.com. It's also available on Amazon.com, BarnesandNobles.com, Books-A-Million.com, Borders.com. We're not in the brick-and-mortar stores yet where you just walk in and get it. We're working towards that. But it's available on all the major online. Or you can go to Outskirts Press. They do have an e-book at Outskirts Press. It's not in Kindle. I'm trying to get it on Kindle. But you can get it through my publisher, Outskirts Press. There is an e-book format there. You can purchase there as well.
Okay. So now for all of our listeners, it's not on Kindle yet because I get that question a lot. And it's not on Kindle, but it is available in ebook form. So,
and if it's not available in the stores, they can request it from the stores. They can, you know, walk in. If it's not there, where you can't, you know, they can walk in and say, we'd like to purchase, you know, and they can order it for them, too.
Right.
So.
And, well, we're going to move on to someone else. And this is a little bit of a heart-wrenching story, too. Tell us about, specifically, I guess we could say, about your incident with Craig and the infamous knock at the door.
Craig, which I changed his name, Craig is my ex-husband. He was my first husband. And there again, it was an abusive relationship, really bad. And the infamous knock at the door. What are you talking about? The one in Wyoming? There was two of them actually. There was one in Demi, New Mexico, and there was one in Wyoming. Are you talking about the state police? Or are you talking about the other?
About the children, the lady who he went outside.
The lady that came to the door. Okay. Yeah. I'm sorry, I didn't know because there was two of them. There was a knock at my door. I had moved to Wyoming. My children and I had gone to Wyoming to join my former husband up there. And there was a knock at the door, and there was a lady standing there that was about 5 to 6 months pregnant. And we had just reunited. We had been separated for a few months. And he didn't say anything. He just walked outside and he talked to her. And later on that evening, I asked him, you know, who was that? And he didn't tell me at first. And I said, who was that? And he told me that it was a girl that he had gotten pregnant. And he said, because I couldn't give him children, I had cancer when I was 22 years old, so I had a total hysterectomy after my youngest child was born. So I could not have any more children. And he said, since you could not give me any children, I went out and got one. And then he proceeded to beat me up for asking him a question and getting into his business. So that's the infamous that knock on the door. Yeah.
Well, and you know, for those of you that are listening, of course, as you can see, that, you know, for Michelle, I guess it's safe to say that you had developed or fallen into a vicious cycle of a
yes.
pattern of meeting that same type of individual over and over again
yes.
for some time. And we're not really going to dwell on, you know, too much on that end either, because that's a story within itself in the book. And but you all get the gist of that particular incident. Anytime the man that, you know, you promised to love on and cherish, you know, comes in and tells you because you couldn't, I went out and found someone who could. And, wow. Anyway.
And not only dealing with the fact, of course, of him hitting me and, you know, going through that, but dealing
right.
with feeling like less of a person, too. I mean, you know what I'm saying? I mean, I was like,
right.
no, I can't. I mean, it's not my fault I couldn't have any more kids. You know, and thank God I had my three children. God gave me three kids.
Right.
But that goes through your mind, too, you know? I mean, am I not a woman anymore? Am I, you know, I mean, it was just, yeah, it was, so.
Right. And we have a comment in the chat room that it is appalling how some men are. And yes, it is. It really
yeah.
is. And, it, you know, and it's so amazing how many men, you know, are stepping up now. And I know I did
mm-hmm.
a summit last year, and I had men coming up and hugging me. They were apologizing for what I had gone through.
Right,
and,
right.
You know, you didn't do it. He said, "You, but you know what? I'm apologizing for what he did
mm-hmm.
to you."
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, thank you, Brian, for making that statement, because it is appalling. It really is. And to me, they're not real men. They're something, but they're not
right.
real
I
men,
agree.
Because a real man would never do that. Never,
right.
ever do that
right.
to anyone. So
I have a couple of friends in my life that I'm blessed with, my friend Barry, and he's always telling me, "I'm sorry." You know, he says, "I'm sorry for sometimes," he goes, "it just makes me so ashamed." You know, he did nothing. You know, he's just
right.
one of my great friends. But he says, "Because I'm a male, and because
right.
you've had to go through this hurt, and I've had people that have told me that I'm sorry," you know?
Yeah. We have a caller on the line. Caller from area code 419. Hello, caller.
Oh. Hello?
Hi.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you just fine.
Okay, great. I'm just wondering from Michelle what her inspiration, her overall inspiration for writing the book was. And through writing the book, what possibly might be her favorite chapter of the book that she did write?
My inspiration for writing the book was to get the word out to help people. My inspiration was I really want to help people. That is my goal from writing the book. Along the lines, when I was writing the book, it was extremely cathartic and healing for me as well. So that, as far as that, that's that point. And I'm sorry, what was your second question? Sorry.
My second question was, what chapter of the book that are you most happy with?
I am most happy with, honestly, the most happy is Where Are We Now? And we'll probably go into that, I'm sure, at the end of whatever of our talk, mine and Maria's talk. That is because how far I believe I've come and my children have come going through all of this to see where we're at now, where we sit now, from back then to now. That is my favorite chapter. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, fantastic. I didn't know if I was still online or not.
Yes, you're still here. You're actually still here. Yes, you're still here. Do you have any more questions for Michelle?
Well, I mean, how long did it take you to write the book? I mean, the process that you went through in order to deciding to write it and then getting it, finally sitting down and writing it.
It took me the process to decide to write it. Like I said before, I'd always been told to write it, and a friend of mine said, you know what, put it down. You can do it. I know you can do it. I know you can do it. So I started writing. It took me about 6 weeks to write it because I've journaled for years. I've always kept journals. I've kept diaries. And what I did is that I had one day when I decided to write it, I had put each caption, you know, this happened and that happened. Oh, yeah, that happened. And then I went back and I wrote each chapter to whatever caption I had put. And that's how I wrote my book. It took about 6 weeks to actually put it down on paper from on my computer from start to finish. Because I did keep journals for so many years. I would, you know, reference back and say, oh, yeah. And, you know, I would have my notes there. And then not only just from my memory, but from what I had written down throughout the years.
Well, God bless you. And I hope you're able to help thousands and maybe millions.
God bless you.
Thank you, caller. God bless you as well. Thank you so much for calling in. Wow. You know,
wow.
I think that's it. It's really great that we have these types of calls coming in for you. And again, welcome to everyone in the chat room. Brian, of course, I love you, Brian. You're great. And guest 10402, Judith just joined us. Welcome, Judith. And of course, the prophetess is still here. Thank you all so much for coming in this evening and joining us for this very up-close and personal conversation with Michelle. She's the author of Shattered Pieces, Loving Heart, great book. And I would hope that you would all go out and support her and pick up a copy of this book. And when you're done reading it, get it as a gift for a friend that you know may need to hear, you know, to see these words. I just thank you, Brian. You are too much. He said, well, you too. You're great as well. Thank you. We're going to just touch on, because we had talked earlier, I think that it was probably Brian who had asked you a question about your mom early on. And I know in the book that you talked about the fact of how insecure she was. And in the end,
yes,
your mom meant a very tragic demise.
Yes. Yes, she did. My mother was beaten to death by her boyfriend at the time she was living with and another man. And she was beaten so bad that none of us kids could even say our final goodbye to her. We weren't allowed to see her. Growing up with my mother, as I've said, it was emotionally chaotic is the best way I could describe it in the book, ups and downs, whatever. But no one, especially my mom, but no one deserves to die the way my mother did, you know. And the police, you know, I had received two letters from my mother right before she passed away. And she was afraid for her life. And 3 days later, we got the word that mom was gone. And I turned them over to the police. But to me, everything was swept under the carpet because my mother was an alcoholic. And that hurt more than anything. I felt like to a lot of people, her life just didn't have a meaning because, you know, she was an alcoholic. So, yeah, she meant a very tragic end.
You know, and that in itself is so sad because she was an alcoholic meant that she was less of a human. And
exactly.
She didn't deserve her due process,
right.
And that is so wrong.
Right.
And,
right.
You know, in the chat room, we have a comment. Really? Was there an investigation? Did they get their just punishment?
Well, I'll tell you. They did not get their just punishment. They actually are now no longer here. I don't want to give away too much there again from the book.
Right.
You know, I mean, I'm not.
Right.
But,
end of
yeah,
discussion.
They're no longer.
You know.
Pardon me?
Again, but you know what? I said, you know what? We're going to leave it there. End of that discussion because, you know,
yeah.
I will say this to all of our listeners, that how's that old adage go? What goes around comes around. You tend to reap what you sow.
Yep.
And I will tell you this, you know, and if there's people out there who you know are not doing the right thing, maybe you need to get them a copy of the book because believe you me, if there was ever a testimony to that fact, it would be this book, You Reap What You Sow. So we always have to remember how, you know, we are, you know, living. And you know, what in the old adage, it's not about people remembering how you died on your last day and where you're lying in that wonderful box. You know, that people think, oh, the box is lovely. It's about how you live that should matter. So, you know, Judith just wrote a comment. Hey, Michelle, Dixie here with y'all. You are an inspiration to all who know you. And Brian writes, amen, you do reap what you sow. So.
Thank you, guys. Yeah. Hi, Dixie. Love you, girl. Thank you.
So she's waving, and we are going to keep moving along. Now, this is for all of the females who, and I know that there's a lot of you are probably sitting in silence for this type of incident, and so many of you all are probably carrying this secret with you, but you really do need to release this. So we're about to talk about Clifford and I believe his name was Howard. And
my mother's, you know, boyfriend, her other boyfriend, or her boyfriend and her boyfriend's friend. Clifford and Howard were the two men. And I actually, again, not going into too much, I actually ran into them after this happened. And one of the really bad parts. I was really grateful for my little brother after my mom died. We had gone to my mom's to go pick up some stuff, you know, if there was anything left, which there was a little plaque she had kept since I was a little girl, and there was a set of electric rollers that my sister had given her that she had, and that was all she had left. And when we had gone back over there and we walked into this apartment where my mother died, there were comments made to me from these two men that were, how does it feel to know your mother died here? And, you know, comments such as that. And my little brother looked at me. Well, he's actually a very big man, but he looked at me and he said, you go outside, Michelle. I don't want you to hear this. I don't know what he said. I don't know what was done, but he wouldn't allow me to be in the same room while these people were talking to me this way. But they got their just due in time. Like you said, you know, what goes around comes around. The Lord took care of it. So, you know.
And, you know, and God will take care of it, you know.
Yep.
And that's the truth. And again, all I will say is you reap what you sow. So you want to know what really happened? Get a copy of the book. I'm telling you now, you will not be disappointed. And Dixie writes, she loves you more. And welcome to Sarah Kay. Thank you for joining us here this evening with Michelle and myself. And, you know, I know that... And I just want to touch on the part with your old manager for once when you saw, I believe it was Howard, outside of after that incident.
I was actually bartending at the Vets Hall in Albuquerque. And I'm just, you know, I come into work, and Howard, the man my mother was living with, was sitting there at the bar, and he was drinking, and he started yelling all this stuff at me, and he was saying, I didn't kill your mother, and I don't know where this is coming from, and but just on and on and on and on. And my manager was sitting at the end of the bar, and I walked over to him, and, you know, when Howard walked in, of course, I was just turned white, shaking and everything, you know, to see this person. And I'd gotten a letter from my mother before what had happened anyway, and my manager just sat there. He just sat there. He didn't do anything. You know, it's like, are you going to do anything? Are you going to tell him to be quiet? Are you going to kick him out of the, you know, the bar? What are you going to do? He did nothing. So I walked over. I handed him my keys. I clocked out, and I quit my job. You know, I thought, I couldn't believe that. The man did not do anything. He was just enjoying his beer. You know, he's supposed to take care of his employees, and he saw what was going on. He saw this person, you know, sitting across the room yelling at me all this stuff. Didn't do nothing. So, yeah.
And, you know, and again, so many times, this is what we're saying, sometimes you will find the help that you need in the faces of strangers, because the people who you think would be there for you in your corner are usually not.
Right.
It is an anomaly when you find the people who you actually expect to help you where they actually help you. And welcome, Sarah. Thank you so much for joining us here this evening on Healing Through Hurt with Michelle and myself. We're so glad that you have decided to spend some time with us. So kick off your shoes and stay a while.
Hi, Sarah.
So we wow, you know, I had to pull out my list now so that I don't want to forget anything, but now we're going to get to a part for you. Okay, Brian just wrote, okay, I'm confused. What and who was this guy at the bar? Was he one of the men that allegedly killed your mom?
Yes.
And the answer to that question is yes, it was Howard that confronted Michelle at the bar where she was working, and the other gentleman that she was speaking about was the manager there. And
No.
When,
yes, you're right. Correct. I'm sorry. You're right. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay,
I'm confused.
Yeah. No, you're right. You're right.
Wait a minute. Okay, I know, Michelle. I read the book.
I know. Oh, my gosh.
I know these things. I read the book. Anyway,
that's good, Maria.
While Michelle gets herself together about her own book,
no doubt.
The other person in question was the manager of the bar, and he did nothing. He allowed Howard to attack her verbally, and he did nothing, and that was when Michelle got that taste of reality because she was expecting this man to protect her, fight, you know, take care of her, put him out of something, and he did not do that. So, and, you know, the point that we're trying to make is that sometimes you have to find the strength within to do what's best for you because sometimes you find yourself standing alone. In that respect, so that was cute. Thank you. It's getting late.
Oh,
she's tired.
Yeah.
So,
we're
going to drop it down a notch now because we're going to try, you know, tell us a little bit about Johnny.
My little brother, Johnny. Johnny was a big part of my heart. He was my pretend twin. My little brother was a writer. And my little brother had a very, very rough life, more so than I did. He went through some pretty horrific things himself. And my book just talks about what he had gone through, how he survived, and he started to come out on top, and then he was taken from us. That really took a piece of my heart when he left us. Like I said, we used to call each other pretend twins. You can't get much closer than that with a sibling unless you are twins. I would, you know, I mean, we were just so close. But, yeah, he was taken from us too young.
Yeah.
So, well, yeah.
Yeah. We have more comments and questions in the room. Brian was, well, he does not blame you. You did the right thing. Good job, Michelle. And Judith has a question. She says, since you have written and shared some of your most hurtful and embarrassing moments, did you find some of your family resent you for telling your secrets?
You know what? No. My family? No. My family has been extremely supportive. And I was really kind of worried about that. Not my children, of course, because, like I said, they were, you know, but I was nervous. But my siblings, they have been amazing. I have been so blessed. They have just been, you know, they didn't even know some of the things that had happened to me because I was separated from some of my siblings growing up for so long. They knew some of it, but they were just like, wow, I didn't know that. Or, you know, they didn't know certain things. But, no, I've had nothing but positive feedback from my family. I'm very, very, very lucky in that aspect because it could have been. You know, I didn't go in, and what they've told me is that this is your story. You know, actually, I have my brother's writing a book. My sister, one of my sisters, is writing a book. My other sister is writing a book. I have two nephews that are writing books. You know, so the Sandoval Saga, which is my maiden name, you know. I've been very blessed in that aspect. Yes, they've been very supportive of me. So,
Well, that's a good thing. Brian, my room greeter and moderator here, he had taken a guess that you would say yes, actually, to that question. So then he writes, wow, a man saying he was wrong. What do you think of that, ladies, LOL? That's a great job, Brian. You're doing a great job. Great job.
That's funny.
Oh, my goodness. I love this group tonight. Judith writes, she's so proud. Good job, Brian. Brian gets an attaboy for this evening. Yes, he does. Many kudos to Brian.
Yep.
Great job. So, I know that at some point you had spoken with, I believe her name was Max, or Maxine, and her comment in reference to you, I believe you were telling her about what it was, what Johnny had gone through, right?
Yeah. What happened was is that I was, Maxine was a friend of mine, and she had a couple of boyfriends. She had a biker with a boyfriend, and she had a truck driver that was a boyfriend. Sorry, go. And they my dogs had to go out of the room. She asked me to go to Arizona with her. So, you know, I went on this weekend trip to Arizona with her. And my little brother was staying at my apartment, watching my apartment. And while I was gone, this biker, her boyfriend, came by, wanted to know where she was. And my brother wouldn't tell him because, of course, I was with her. And these guys come to the door, banging on the door. Anyway, and they came in and they hurt my brother. They hurt my brother pretty bad because he wouldn't tell them where we were. And when I confronted her, you know, when I talked to my brother and he told me what had happened, she said, well, she says, you know, she said, I told her, I said, do you know what's happened? You know, do you know what happened? And she said, well, it's not my problem. I said, what do you mean it's not your problem? You know, this guy's looking for you. How could you put me in this position or my brother in this position? And she says, well, I'm just with my man. You know, I'm just going to enjoy myself. She didn't care. You know, she did not. This was supposed to be my friend. She didn't care. You know, she was too busy enjoying herself. She didn't care. It's not her problem. But they came to my apartment looking for her and hurt my brother.
Wow.
So, yeah.
That once again,
yeah.
Friend, you know,
friend,
good job.
Yeah.
Good job.
Yeah, good job. Good job. Yeah, I know. I just couldn't believe, I mean, you know, and like I said, my brother was such a big part of my heart, too, and I was just, so of course, it was like, she used to came to stay with me is what happened. I'm sorry, I forgot that in the beginning. She was staying with me for a while, and I told her, you know, get your stuff, get out, period, go away after all this came down, you know. But, yeah.
Yeah.
I know, yeah.
And, you know, we're not going to get into it too much because I don't know whether there's more that you all found out after the fact, but, you know, we know that Johnny is no longer with us.
Right.
And,
right.
You know, and again, people, if you want to read the book, you can, but to find out exactly, you know, how they found out that he was gone and the circumstances. Of course, pick up your copy of the book, but was there ever an extensive investigation? Or?
No, there was never an extensive investigation there either. No. What I will say is my brother was found up in the mountains of New Mexico under very suspicious circumstances. You know, with my mother and with my brother on the autopsy reports, you know, it shows homicide is not ruled out and this and that. And so we have many unanswered questions. That's what happened with my brother as far as yes.
Right.
There was never an extensive investigation.
And of course in the chat room, and speaking in reference to good old Max, Brian writes, I hope that you told her where to go then, and dang, that is so low. He said, remind me not to travel to New Mexico then, jeez.
Oh, New Mexico's beautiful, even though I won't
be there. It's okay.
You know, actually, I'm doing book signings there, and I'm doing, you know, I have an actual live radio interview there next month, but yeah, I'm from New Mexico, but I wouldn't live there again. I just wouldn't. There's... too much hurt, too much, yeah, I wouldn't live there. But it's a beautiful place. It really, with a lot of good people. There are a lot of good people there, too.
Yeah, if that's the case, we never leave our houses to go anywhere at this point. And, you know, if you know anything about Baltimore, Maryland, I'm several miles outside of there, but, you know,
right.
I love going downtown and right back home, but that, you know, instead of it being what they call it, the city that reads, we call it the city that bleeds, because it's almost guaranteed a couple people are going to die there every day.
Right,
so,
exactly. That's the way Albuquerque has gotten, too. It's gotten, you know, when I went back, I was just there last month, and you know, you hear on the news, it's like, you know, 5-6 deaths within a month or so. It's just very, it's just got too big for me, so. Yep, I hear you.
Yeah. And Judith writes, unfortunately, evil is everywhere. And Brian writes, why wouldn't you live there anymore? Too much negative history?
Absolutely. Too much negative history. And like I said, just the crime rate's gone through the roof there. You know, I have wonderful friends. I have a sister that lives there, and I like to go visit, but that's it. I miss the mountains because here in Oklahoma we don't have any mountains. But I, you know, I feel safe where I'm at now. I didn't feel safe for several years living there. Yeah.
And sometimes, if you ever remember, well, some of you may be too young, but there was a show that used to come on called Cheers, and the song used to come on. It used to be, "You want to go where everybody knows your name," and sometimes you have to go where nobody knows your name.
Right.
You have to
exactly. Very well put.
Sometimes you just need to do that.
Well,
so,
and my daughter also is a federal police officer here, so I know I'm safe.
Yeah. Well, that's, you know, maybe that's why I went into, or, you know, do what I do and went into what I do for a living, too. But,
Yeah.
So much for that. Moving right along.
So much for that moving right along. How about them cowboys? You know?
How about that? The thing is that we have another comment in the chat room. The thing is that when we know Jesus, we have a much greater radar for the evil. And, you know, and sometimes that's true, but sometimes, you know, they'll come like a thief in the night and a sheep and, you know, a wolf in sheep's clothing. And we don't know until God is ready to test our faith. So sometimes we don't know. We do not know.
Absolutely, Maria. You know, my first husband that we spoke about, I knew him since junior high school. I knew him from junior high. It's not like I just married a guy off the street. You know, I mean, and then the one another incident in the book that, you know, I knew this man, too. I mean, I knew it's not exactly, you know, exactly. The people that have really hurt me in my life, I knew, you know, I knew. I trusted, and I knew. So it's a difficult, you know, kind of a catch-22 thing. But I don't want to ever give up trust. I don't want to become jaded.
Yeah.
I don't want to become bitter, you know, because this person hurt me doesn't mean that person's going to hurt me. But then my guard, you know, of course, keep my guard up. But I don't want to become that. I don't want my heart to become that, you know.
And and it's so true because, again, that's where it comes in where we don't we really don't want, you know, that negativity and that thing to cloud our lives.
Right. Absolutely.
And we're going to come down. We're coming down the wire now about talking to the book, and then we're just going to end it with, of course, the infamous question of how, you know, you come through this storm and how you're actually surviving all of this. And you know, I hope that we're still the devil dances in empty pockets. That's true. And that was from Judith in the chat room. And I hope you all can still hear me because I just lost my switchboard, so I cannot see anyone on the switchboard. Good job, Blog Talk Radio. Good job. But I can see the chat room, so if you all are having problems and you cannot hear us, just reload the chat room and you should be okay. So So right now, while I'm trying to find my switchboard again, it says, what about your father? Was he in three wars? I heard that earlier.
Yes, what about my father? My daddy?
Yes.
My daddy, I call him my daddy. My father and I, well, we worked on getting our relationship back together. My daddy was in three wars. My dad was in the Korean War. My dad was in World War II, and my dad was a volunteer and went to Vietnam. He was a good man, a really, really good man. I lost my dad in 2008, but I was given the gift of actually spending the last several weeks with my father, the last 5.5 weeks with my dad. He was a really good man. He, yeah, I miss him. I miss my dad. We had just found each other again. And then basically a couple of years before that, we had just found each other, really found each other again. And then he was gone. But that, I was given the gift of actually being able to, I was given the best gift I could have been given by my father. We spent right. wonderful time together, and we both did a lot of healing during that time. So, yeah.
But that's it. You know, it's that moment that mm-hmm. makes it all right again. And
absolutely.
You know, and it happens in its own time, and so many people don't
wow.
seem to understand that. But, you know, you came together right when you needed to.
Yes.
And,
yes.
you know, you came together not in your time, but in God's time. So that was...
Yes.
the different. And
yes.
Brian writes, if he was in three wars, he's a hero in his book.
Yeah, he was a hero.
And,
he was a hero all the way around. Yeah.
And Judith would like to know, is there a sequel to this book in the future? Can you give some advice to some of us who have a story to tell? Judith, hold on a moment. We're going to get to that in a very few moments because we only have about 15 minutes left in our show. And Brian writes, your father is one of the reasons why we have the country that we have right now. So, of course.
Thank you. Thank you.
And,
well my dad My dad actually, what brought us really close together is, you know, if you read in the book that I got to actually go overseas for, you know, for 2 years and work on quadrilling between Hawaii and Australia. And my daddy actually was over there, too, back in the 40s. And that really brought us together. And actually, well, you read the book, but that meant so much to the both of us. We were able to share that, my dad and I were, you know. So I just had to throw that in. Sorry.
And, you know, I wanted you to talk about, we were going to talk about Peter and Carl. And, of course, I think that we'll leave people that to the people to read in the book.
Okay.
And,
okay.
And Judith says that your father's a hero, and he's, you know, she agrees with Brian's last comment, and she says, you know, he's also a hero in her book. And Brian writes, kudos and God bless your father, amen. And amen to that, Brian, as well. I wanted to end, you know, us talking about the book itself with Pam. I think that we need to, because Pam reminds me, my old neighbor and I, we were like the best of friends, and we were road dogs, and she
mm-hmm.
She had cancer a few years ago, mm-hmm. and then the cancer came back, and it spread to her brain,
mm-hmm.
and I had just called her parents were in New Hampshire. And I called her family to come and get her because things just were not right. And they had come to get her, and she was losing. She had lost her home. It was already foreclosed on, and
mm-hmm.
she ran through. She just had a rough time. And by the time she got back home, she only lasted a few weeks, and then she was in the hospital. And I couldn't get up there to her because I was in the midst of my own storm. But
mm-hmm.
Her mom called, and she said, you know, you were the only friend that she had in the world. And every day,
mm-hmm.
she wasn't in her right mind, but
right.
every day
right.
I was there with her. She would
right.
tell them that I came in to visit. She said they went around the whole hospital because some days I was a doctor, some days I was a nurse, you
yeah.
know, but every day
yeah.
I was there with
oh.
her, and she had conversations with me. And I'm like, well, you know what? Even though I wasn't there, in her mind I was.
Oh, absolutely.
She didn't go alone. And so that made it okay for me because
right.
I knew that I couldn't
right.
get up there to be with her or to even be at the funeral. But, you know,
right.
and she had loaned me some of her jewelry for my wedding. And I called her mom and I said, you know, I have all this jewelry. She said, you know what? I would think that she'd want you to keep it.
Right.
So, you know, that's a little
I'm
piece
sorry
of her
for your loss.
But, oh, thank you. And I'm really, you know, sorry for yours. But we can say a little bit about Pam just, you know, because I think that it would be good. And,
Pammy was my best friend. I met Pam. She was my neighbor. I met her. Can I borrow your vacuum? You know? That's the title of my chapter, Can I Borrow Your Vacuum? And we had our ups and downs. And my best friend was diagnosed with cancer. She had melanoma, skin cancer. And it took over and hit her brain and hit her major organs. And she and I, we went through so much together. You know, we went through births and deaths and divorces, and we talked every day. We didn't see each other. We talked every day on the phone. 20 years. We were best friends for 20 years. And when I lost her, it was very difficult. I actually had to be the one to tell her that she was terminally ill or that she was, you know, she was going to die because everyone else was in denial. They wouldn't tell her, but she knew. She knew. She just needed me to tell her. She needed someone that she loved to tell her, that loved her, you know, the courage to. And it was hard. It was one of the hardest things I've ever done. You know, I had to look her in the eye and tell her, you know, that's what the doctors are saying. But, yeah. So, yeah, my Pammy. I know. Yeah, I miss her.
Yeah.
Good person, you know. And all these people that I have lost that we've spoken about, you know, my dad, my brother, whatever. I mean, I'm a better person, I believe, for knowing each one of them, for no matter what we went through. I'm a much better person for each one of them having been in my life, and even though they're not in my life anymore, God graced me with them to be there. I'm very lucky in that aspect, you know. So.
And
anyway.
We still have our comments. Thank you so much, Maria, for having our loving, beautiful friend Michelle on your show. Great job, both of y'all. Thank you so much, and that was from Judith. So thank you so much, Judith.
Thank you.
You know, I'm always in shock and awe when I get a any type of kudo or whatever.
Why?
And,
you're amazing.
I'm just saying me. You know, it's so weird for me. I'm like, okay, thank you.
Yeah.
No, I guess when we're doing what we know that we will put on this earth to do,
mm-hmm.
to me, it's like second nature. It's like, wow, this is what I was born on this earth to do.
Exactly.
So,
exactly.
You
yep,
know.
Me too. Yep. Absolutely.
And you know, it's so amazing and different, I guess. And Brian writes, we're all footprints of our past. And
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Judith writes, Michelle's book, In Touch and Help. Anyone who reads it, and she writes indeed to Brian, and Brian writes, oh, stop it, Maria, you're worth it, too.
Absolutely, you tell her, Brian, you tell her. What you were speaking about,
thank
it's
you,
funny,
Brian.
I had a friend of mine tell me the other day, I was saying, you know, people are saying this and people are saying that, and they're like, wow, you've been through this and you've been through that, and like you said, Maria, it's just what's happened and what's gone on. And I said, why do people react this way? I don't know how to react, you know, when they're saying something. And he said, it's because we're sitting back. You've lived it. We haven't lived it, but you've lived it and made it, you know, and you're where you are today. And the rest of us are kind of going, wow, you know, and I'm just going, well, that's my life, you know. I mean, not to take lightly at any of it, of course, but you know what I mean? So where you had made the comment about, you know, where people are, you're just you. And that's the way I feel, too. I'm just me. You know, I'm just here trying to get the word out, you know.
And that's it. I mean, I don't know what, I don't know how else to describe it. And they are really going at it in the chat room. But thank you all so much for the encouraging words. across the board from, you know, and that's a big hearty thank you from all of you who have
absolutely
supported the show this evening, and especially Michelle, of course, because so many of you all have known her longer than me in chronological time, but I feel as though I've known her for a lifetime. And,
me too.
I know, right?
And yeah.
We, like I said, you know, and I welcome you all to come back often because
absolutely.
I'm here every Saturday. Time for me
yep.
to do my infamous station promo. I'm here every Saturday evenings from at 9 o'clock p.m. Saturday evenings, and of course Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. for a Sunday morning meditation, which is our 15 minutes of stress release and release. So I will
and
not be here tomorrow. do you listen to that? You do, don't you?
Absolutely. Yes, I do, and I've listened. Yeah, and I've listened to your programs too. Of course, your guests. Absolutely. I'm not going to come on your show and go, "Yeah, you're the greatest." But you know, I listen to you. Yeah, I listen to you.
See, once again, I'm in shock, and I'm like, "Really, really?"
Yeah, really.
I'm like, "Okay, thank you." But oh boy. I know, Brian. I'm so sorry. We're winding down. We have been here for 2 hours, believe it or not. We have nine
wow.
minutes left in the show. So if
wow.
any of you all would like to call in and leave some closing comments for Michelle, you can. Our number is 646-478-4726. Press the number 1 on your phone to let us know that you would like to be on air. And if you'd like to leave some encouraging comments for her in keep still writing, don't leave then. It's so much fun.
Yeah.
Oh, she says, now I want to come see you.
Yes,
I'm like, oh my goodness. As always, Healing Through Hurt, we're sponsored by the Wall Foundation, which is a 501c3 faith and community based nonprofit. If you'd like to write to us or support us or just send us the words of encouragement, our address is P.O. Box 272 in Randallstown, Maryland, 21133. If you'd like to email myself, my email is mariawall@thewallfoundationinc.org. And that is about it. We are coming down the wire now, and we're going to let Michelle tell us how she's doing and how she's continuing to move forward in her healing process. And thank you so much, Judith, for joining us this evening, and happy trails to you as well. We only have about 8 or 7 minutes left in the show, so hold tight. And, you know, Michelle, first and foremost, tell us where we can get the book again, and then
okay.
we're going to close with you, you know, just giving us some insight. And, of course, telling someone had asked about, for those of us who want to write our own book.
Okay. As far as getting a hold of my website is www.shatteredpieces-lovingheart.com. You can go to my website. My email address is mpoitras@shatteredpieces-lovingheart.com. And I will be doing book signings as far as I've got some coming up in Albuquerque. I've got one coming up here in Oklahoma City, the 21st of May. It's going to be a pretty big one. I have 3 going on in Albuquerque, and they'll be all up on my website. I've also, we've been approached for a possible movie. We've talked to producers. Our attorneys actually have the paperwork right now. We don't know if it's gonna, you know, what's going to happen with that. But I'm just trying to get the word out. I want people to know that there's always hope. There is always help. A phone call away, you know, a blog away, Maria show away, my website. There's just always hope. No matter what you're faced with, just know that people care. And that's about where I'm at now. I keep healing. Keep healing to help. Reach out my hand and hopefully touch someone, you know, touch someone that needs it.
Right. And for those of you who don't know, and Michelle said it best, is that I'm here to help. You know, there are times when people have called me in the dead of night or they just got up and sent me an email. And for those of you, once again, I cannot stress this enough. Yes, I do respond to each and every one of my hundreds of emails. I respond. You may not get it, you know, the next morning, but you may get it by that afternoon. So I want you to understand that I am a real person, and
yes,
and I do respond to you all. Yes, when you get back, it's not my secretary, it's not any member of the staff, it is me. So,
and I do the same thing. I respond to every email. I respond to, you know, I do the same thing. And if I mean, if I can help to point in the right direction too, you know, and like I said, my links are up there. Someone that's going through something such as a suicide, sexual abuse, domestic violence, cancer, anything, there's links there as well, you know.
Right. So. And, of course, if you go and listen to some of my old shows, there's a lot of answers there for everything that Michelle has just mentioned. There are shows with people and experts on who have experienced the same thing. And, again, our closing comments in the chat room, Brian writes, before you all close, I wish to say happy Mama's Day to all you mamas out there. God bless you, Michelle, with your book and in helping others. And God bless you, Maria, with all that you do as well. May the Lord lead
you.
Thank you,
Brian.
So much. And Judith writes, God bless you, Michelle and Maria. Thank you so much.
Thank
to
you.
Each and every one of you. Lord knows your words are greatly appreciated. And, you know, my story is one of my shows from last year. So for all of you that do know, this show helps me to heal through my hurt. And I'm still healing and coming out of the fog. You know, I'm out of the darkness now, and I'm into the fog phase, but I'm starting to see the sunshine through the mist. So I'm getting good, too. So when shows happen like this, you all help me in more ways than you will ever know to heal as well. And, if you are available, of course, next week we'll be back to our regular schedule. And next week, of course, my guest will be Nancy A. Kaiser. She's the author of Letting Go, and it's One Ordinary Woman's Extraordinary Journey of Healing and Transformation. And, of course, I'll be back here next week at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, as always. And, of course, we will return to our regular Sunday schedule, not tomorrow, but the following week at 9:30 a.m. for our 15 minutes of stress relief and release on our Healing Through Hurt Sunday morning meditation. Thank you all so much for joining us here. And as always, I pray each and every one of you enough sunshine to brighten your rainy days, enough smiles to turn your frown upside down, and enough strength and courage to be able to face whatever may be coming your way in the coming weeks, months, years. And I pray you enough of whatever you need to be able to make it through your storm. And until next time, each and every one of you have a blessed evening. And I hope to see you all back here again soon. Michelle, thank you for joining me. Okay,
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure, and it's been a gift to be on your show. Thank you.
Thank you so much. And I told you it wouldn't be so bad.
No, you did. You did. It was actually like sitting out on the front porch with some lemonade. You got it, girl. That's exactly what it was. Thank you.
So good night, everyone. Thank you again. Like I said, like our show. You can always get us on Facebook. If you're on Facebook, you can find us under Healing Through Hurt Talk Radio. Come there and like us there, and you can keep track of everything that we're doing and everything that Michelle is doing, because I promote a lot of my guests there as well. And you can always see what we're up to there as well and make your comments and let us know what's going on with you. Oh, you like tea, Brian? Well, good. I'll make sure next time we all get together, we'll have ourselves some good lemon and tea and lemonade. Okay.
Lemonade and tea.
So until then, good night, everyone, and thank you
good
and
night.
Be blessed. Good night.
God bless you.
Pretty baby, since you left me, I have been feeling oh so blue. I always thought that you would love me. I don't know what I should do. Do do ba ba da do da do do. I always thought that you would love me. I always thought that you'd be true. And now I'm sad you're feeling lonely. I don't know what I should